Oh, I've got to take this picture of this hat and send it to Merrill Reese. He's going to love this Jerome Brown Classic hat. I've got my Jerome Brown Classic. Do you realize the 25th of June this year, it'll be 30 years, or 25 years since my friend Jerome Brown passed away in a car accident. The Eagles this year won the Super Bowl on Jerome Brown's birthday. And there's kind of like a tie into this. So I'm going to send this picture. We got to take a picture of this hat and send it to Merrill. And I'm wearing it right now because the golf tournament was last week. And now we got mini camp starting up and the defending champions are the Eagles. I just wonder what Jerome would think seeing that Eagle just being the champion for the first time since 1960. The legendary voice, by the way, here on the Cilio Show 534, here on San Diego's only FM sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Just, it must be remarkable just going around Philadelphia right now as champions. Can you imagine, like I told you guys, can you imagine what it'd be like going down Market, the Padres won the World Series? Let's get to our friend over here, the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, our friend Merrill Reese, and he joins us here on San Diego's only FM sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Good morning to you, Merrill.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Fantastic. I got my Jerome Brown hat on. Can you believe it's 25 years on the 25th of this month that he's gone?
No, I can't. I really can't. 25 years. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, we hold a golf tournament every year for him. And when Reggie was alive, Reggie used to go down to it all the time to the Jerome Brown Foundation. And they used to have this golf tournament. And Randall Cunningham would show up. I'll tell you, I'll never forget that day when all those Philadelphia Eagle guys, Chris Carter was still on the ball team, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he may have been released by Buddy. Even Buddy showed up. It was remarkable. And I'll tell you this small story before we just get into the good on what's going on with the Eagles. After we decided to get ready to close the casket, every single Miami Hurricane and Philadelphia Eagle took our ties off. And Merrill, we threw him into his box because we wanted something to go with him. And I'll never forget Reggie White just breaking down. He took his tie off and he threw it in there and he put it in his hand. It was pretty cool for all of us to say goodbye in some special way to him.
That's amazing. That's very appropriate because I think I still have this vision, Dan, about Jerome. We were leaving on a hot summer day for a preseason game and the plane was on the runway and there was no Jerome. And Buddy was growing very, very impatient. And Buddy used to tell the players they had to dress in ties and jackets because they were going on a business trip.
Yeah.
And Buddy's saying, all right, let's rev up the plane. And all of a sudden, you looked out of the window and you saw Jerome's black Ford Bronco fire into the parking lot. And Jerome jumped out. He ran full speed to the plane, and it might have been 98 degrees that day. He jumped onto the plane and envision this, man. He was carrying big bags of chicken under each arm. He was wearing his jacket. He was wearing his necktie with no shirt. Absolutely no shirt. And the sweat was pouring down. But he made the flight.
Let me ask you, was this team here, this world championship team here, as charismatic as that Buddy Ryan gangrene team? Were they like that in personality this last year for you?
No, not at all. Because when you're talking about charismatic, you're talking about a lot of characters, which is a derivative, or charismatic comes out of characters, because you're talking about Reggie, who was impersonating people in the locker room. You're talking about Jerome, and goodness only knows what he was going to do next. You were talking about Buddy, who was totally unique, who went back and forth between soothing his football team and taking shots at the owner. So you were talking about, I think years ago, a pitcher by the name of Sparky Lyle wrote a book about the Yankees. He called it the Bronx Zoo. You were talking about the Philadelphia Zoo because you had so many unique characters. This was more of a bunch of guys. I mean, a great bunch of guys. But they were totally under control. And the same with Doug Peterson. I mean, they did it by the book. They did it with tremendous chemistry. I mean, it was a wonderful locker room. But in terms of being colorful, no, not really. I mean, even Carson Wentz, Nick Foles, I mean, they're great guys. I mean, they are great guys. I mean, you look, I'll tell you, one of the greatest guys on that team, and I'm going to miss him, and he turned out to be such a positive force, was LeGarrette Blount. But these were guys who played by the rules, wouldn't think of breaking a rule, were never late for meetings, and did it with hard work, and did it despite a team that was ravaged by injuries.
Merrill Reese, the legendary voice here on San Diego's only FM sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Merrill, has it sunk in yet? I mean, that fan base, this goes all the way back to my uncle's time, Andy Robustelli. I mean, the 1960s, the 1960 championship. And hell, I knew Chuck Bednarik as a kid. Used to get him on my show when I first started in broadcasting. And he would talk about that game. And he would talk about knocking Gifford out and all that. To see what's happened now, has it really settled in? Or do you think it settles in when the banner falls and we see him in the first week?
No, it's settled in. I can tell you that because I've done about 800 appearances since the Super Bowl. So it has seriously cut into my golf time, but it's worth it. But I will tell you this, it has finally settled in that these are Super Bowl champions, and it will really settle in tomorrow night because that's when they have the ring ceremony.
Merrill, Coach Peterson came out a couple days ago and basically said that Foles is going to be the starter. Are we right now? We're still in the off season. Obviously, we're in mini camps now. Do you what's the timeline for Carson Wentz coming? Do you expect him to be there on the opening night?
I don't know. I don't know. I know if you look at Carson Wentz at workouts, he looks great. He looks like he never had an injury. He makes every movement, every throw, but then the question is he ready to take a hit? So what we're talking about is a medical decision, and I think, if anything, they will play this very, very cautiously because Carson Wentz is the franchise quarterback, and Carson Wentz will not start until they feel that he is 100% healthy and that he has no more risk of injury than he had before the injury. So the injury that occurred last December, of course. But they will be very, very cautious. But that's why you can't go by your looks. That's why you can't go by Carson Wentz saying he feels great. It will be a medical decision. It would not surprise me if Nick Foles starts the first three or four games.
I don't think Nick Foles has to worry about buying beers there in Philly, does he?
Nick is a very popular guy.
Yeah, I would imagine.
and the two of them are great friends. And there's really no, you know, Doug says there's no ego. Well, every great professional athlete has a lot of pride. But that ego is checked at the door. And Nick knows that he basically is the guy who holds the position until Carson Wentz is ready.
Merrill, did you have a problem with the team not going to the White House?
It's a lot more complex than anybody can go into, and I really cannot talk about all the different facets of it and all of the things that went down because my job is to talk about football matters, and that is the farthest thing from a football matter. That is the that is a team deep down inside team matter. So I'm not a spokesperson for the team, so I can't really give you that. I can only tell you that everything you hear and everything you read would be put into the incomplete category. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that went on, and it's really inappropriate for me to comment on it. The only thing I will say is that the statement was that it's all about the national anthem. I can tell you that last season, from the first game through the Super Bowl, there was not one Eagle, not one, who ever kneeled during the playing of the national anthem.
Huh, that's great. So let me ask you this then. Do you think that there'll be more this coming season, in your opinion, just as a hypothetical guess, do you think there'll be more or less? And what I didn't like it about it as an, and I'm not talking just the Eagles, I'm talking league-wide. Do you think that this thing will be facilitated more because of what the NFL has done with their new anthem stance? Or do you project that we'll see less of it because I think everybody now has made their statement? I mean, there's a certain thing when you're trying to make a statement. You can go overboard in making a statement. I think a lot of statements were made last year, don't you?
I think it was in the process of becoming a non-issue. And now it's come up again. That I can say. I thought by the end of last season, it was kind of going away. So we'll see how everybody reacts.
Final question for you. Do you get concerned a little bit? You mentioned one thing for just yourself. You've had a pretty busy offseason, and I'm sure the players have had pretty busy offseasons. As we know, distractions are the number one thing that all NFL coaches despise. They don't like outside noise. Outside noise sometimes bleeds into locker rooms. Then we're talking maybe the Michael Bennett factor here. I don't know what the status is on that, on what his position is going to be with the Eagles. Do you concern yourself a little bit, Merrill, that there's a lot of outside noise where a year ago, like you said, they did everything by the book. Next guy up mentality. Guy goes down, ravaged injuries, he stepped in, and you had players showing that they were buying into a culture and buying into a system. Does it make you a little nervous, all this stuff that went on in the offseason? Just for yourself, you were talking that you were doing numerous appearances. Does that concern you?
No, not at all. I'll tell you what does concern me, and this would concern me with any Super Bowl team. There is a change in chemistry. There, as you know, as a guy who has played this game on some pretty big-time teams, there is a certain chemistry that winning teams have. And it's not something that you can consciously put together. There's a blend that takes place that starts during the OTAs and then intensifies as the season goes on. This was a totally unselfish team and a coach who did a great job. But the cast changes. As I mentioned, LeGarrette Blount was such a positive influence. He's gone. Brent Celek, a longtime player. He's gone, and a very, very positive influence. Trey Burton, the guy who threw the pass, is a Philly special, but who made some very big plays along the way. He's gone. And there are others along the way who are gone. So the cast of this team has changed. Not the fault of the Eagles. It's because we live in an age where there are salary caps, and key pieces are taken away in the offseason. You lost a great offensive coordinator in Frank Reich, who ends up in Indianapolis as a head coach. By the way, I think he's going to be a terrific head coach.
Oh, yes, I do, too.
You lost the quarterback coach, who is now in Minnesota as an offensive coordinator. So John DeFilippo. So you're talking about a lot of moving parts. And that's not to say that there aren't great people taking their place. That's not to say that there's anything that the team can do to prevent people from moving on. But the cast becomes somewhat different. Also, last year, they lost all those players, but the stars were aligned. And I believe that the best opponent they could have had in the divisional round was Atlanta. I believe that in the second round, they really didn't want to see Drew Brees. I mean, they won't say that, but I mean, if we're looking at it objectively, you have a better chance against Case Keenum and the Vikings
right.
than you did against Drew Brees and the Saints. And the Vikings win on an incredible, miraculous last play of a game, and they come here and the Eagles blow them out. So all the stars were aligned. So there are a lot of factors that go into winning a Super Bowl, and things change from year to year.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see how this team performs. I think they're going to be better. Like you said, there were so many injuries. Merrill, it is always great catching up with you, my friend. You always find time for us. Thank you so much, Merrill.
See you, Dan. Have a great day.
You got it. That is our friend Merrill Reese, the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles.